legalization also ushers in the return of the American hemp industry. Get the latest news from the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail, Doug Fine, in our Hemp Day Hump Day Update.
Welcome back, everybody, to this fine Wednesday. It's a Hemp Day Hump Day, and joining us on the phone, we've got Doug Fine on the line. How you doing, Doug?
Oh, man, in bliss. It's harvest season, Russ. American hemp harvest season. How about that?
I know. That I couldn't wait to get you on the line because I knew we were right smack dab in the middle of the harvest, and you'd be telling us of all the states that are cultivating hemp across the country. What's the latest? How's harvest going?
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. So I'm in the middle of filming several harvests before heading to my own project's harvest in Vermont, and it just keeps going from there. But I'll tell you, here in Colorado, where I'm filming now for the hemp television series Growing Season, I was at a farm a few days ago that is cultivating more acreage at 1,250 than the entire United States cultivated 2 years ago. Mm. This game is on. This game is on, and it's just a pleasure to watch. Also here in Colorado was the Hemp Industries Association conference this week, and it was a real deal. It was farmers looking for processors and people seeking standards and all the things you expect in an industry that's growing really, really fast. Next for me is off to Vermont for harvest season of the three-family, 23-acre hemp farm of which I am part, and I can't wait for that. It's time, and it's my young son's first hemp harvest. They're planting. It's going to be great.
That's amazing. So we know Colorado, Vermont. I know they're harvesting hemp here in Oregon. How many states in the U.S. right now have hemp crops in the ground that are going to be harvested this season?
You know, the difference between places that have hemp crops in the ground and the places that have significant amount of acreage is significant. I mean, if you want to add every place where there is at least a single plant or a single field, then probably, I mean, we have up 31 states with hemp legislation in the ground this season, as many as a dozen, I would say, and, you know, 6 to 8 significant, those being Oregon, Vermont, Colorado, Kentucky, Tennessee, who else might I be forgetting? But it is coming online fast, because some states are taking that cautious approach and only allowing it to be tiny in year one. They're choosing to not hear the reality from year one, but inevitably it's like, you know, it's win-win for everybody. Almost every place by year two is gates open.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, in with respect to the cautious approach being taken, we've got a question from our live chat room that asks, considering that the USDA had their recent statement on hemp, would it be better for hemp to stay 100% compliant with the federal law, or should we move toward hemp production being more like medical marijuana, where we ignore the federal law and do it state by state, regardless of what the feds happen to say?
Those are both legitimate choices. Personally, as a proud American and as a proud hemp farmer, I try to honor the law, and the law of the land is federal law. So therefore, with our hemp program, our intent is to follow federal law as well as state law, follow all laws. And so, for instance, we don't have sales this year. We have market research. And for those who may be, you know, laughing in terms of like, the nuance of the ridiculousness of the end of probation, of course, I mean, like, you know, when God puts, you have a right to the plants and herbs in chapter one of the Bible, if you're a religious person, to talk about anything other than this good thing is good is, to me, counter to my spiritual framework. That said, I was visiting and speaking in North Carolina the other day, and a friend of mine from Kentucky, a Kentucky farmer, was walking alongside me, and And I made this comment about, yeah, we've got a lot of market research interest in our Vermont crops. I said, because it's, you know, market research. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and she said, it is market research. And it is. It really is. Thank you, federal government, for forcing us to figure out these markets and how they work. So we're excited about that. That said, we got tons of flower seed and fiber, so give us a call in Vermont, folks.
No doubt about it. Now, the corollary to that question, you know, as far as should we proceed cautiously, would be the risk that we might be taking. Do you have any fears of the DEA conducting raids on hemp farms this year?
Well, after meeting Aung San Suu Kyi in Burma, I realized fear, there's, you know, you have to live without fear in general. But personally, I feel confident about it. So, for instance, we're talking with one state now about supplying some of our seeds from our program to their program farmers through a state agriculture department, actually many states. But in this one particular state, they've consulted at the highest level, and their attorney general considers it completely an acceptable risk and a totally awesome, cool thing to allow that kind of thing as in sync with all federal laws. There's I could get into the nuances of the federal laws that are applicable or potentially applicable here, but so that's fantastic when you have a state attorney general that's backing up your business strategy, your market research. That gives you some confidence that if there is going to be a target, it's going to be somebody else who's not choosing to be compliant with federal law. You know, in the end, these are just short-term issues. In the long run, we're talking about an already unstoppable industry, Russ. It's just growing by leaps and bounds. I'm thrilled to be part of it. I'm thrilled for my Vermont partners who are farming families who need, like my family does, who need to make a living. And in their, you know, generational memory of farming in Vermont, they can't remember this much interest in a crop of theirs before harvest. So it's good.
That's great. Now, you were talking about these people being engaged in market research. Under that requirement of it being market research, do these farmers get to make any money, or do they just have to volunteer their work?
I think that when you're researching, you're allowed to pay researchers. I'm pretty sure about that. I mean, what I'm going by is, I don't think that people are required to be slaves because their job is researchers. Farmer entrepreneur researchers, but I'm not a legal expert on that question. But I will say is that the origins of this model came from the highest level of the Kentucky legal system, the state system in Kentucky, that several years ago said it is market research and allows Kentucky farmers to market research their crop, and they do. And all of it. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of acres in Kentucky this year. And there's been no federal pushback. Now, in that recent letter that the caller or the chat room folks mentioned, there was a question raised about that inaccurately in many opinions, and there's been quite a pushback against that recent letter. And again, it's all just speed bumps. We're just talking about the inevitable here. And for folks who like to follow the nuances, I guess it's better than, Bradulina headlines, but don't worry about it. The only result is hemp by the thousands or even millions of acres within not too many years.
Oh, so looking forward to that. We're speaking with Doug Fine, the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail. Doug, we had spoken a few months back about the problems that farmers were having in securing hemp seed. They were importing it, and the DEA was given a bunch of problems. Can you update us on the status of hemp seed in America? And I know Colorado certified some of their hemp seeds. Are they going to be able to transport these seeds state to state so that these farmers can collaborate on some of these genetics?
Well, so a quick clarification, Colorado is beginning the process of certifying seed, which is fantastic. I got to give props to Dwayne Finning and the folks in the Colorado Ag Department who are rocking it and really want it to work, first of all, and to be a level playing field for farmers, whether they're independent farmers, big farmers, small farmers, or anything. And I hope also many states will follow. What we believe is that this is what I was talking about with the acceptable risk, that we should be able to move seeds to other state programs. That appears to be protected in federal law, and we're going to do it, you know, with our respective states' involvement, and full disclosure and awareness of everybody on all sides, and we think it's ridiculous and not according to law to, out of fear and rearview mirror nonsense, stop American entrepreneurs from providing seeds and force farmers to get them from abroad. That's insane, especially since we're pretty dang proud of our quality. I'm speaking for my Vermont group here. Our biggest issue now, we have experience with seed farmers from sunflowers and other seeds. They know what they're doing with the seeds to the max, my friends in our group. But what we're trying to figure out, me and everybody else I'm talking to at the Hemp Industry Association, dang, we're getting all this flower material and it's beautiful. I mean, there's a balanced cannabinoid profile and lovely terpenes and what we've gotten. So it's like, oh my God, we've got tons of flower material. Collecting it is problem one. Market research, yeah, that's next, sure. It's day to day thinking on the fly, modifying combines, baby. This is not a test. This is not a drill. This is the birth of an industry that's good for America and good for the soil.
Doug Fine, you are the man when it comes to our Hemp Day Hump Day update, giving us all the latest information. So many people out there listening have some pretty detailed questions coming up, and we don't have the time to go over them right now, but is there a way people can contact you if they want to get some of your expertise and maybe take these subjects a little deeper?
Thank you. Yes. There's a contact button at DougFine.com. I see the, there are a bunch of people at the conference recently who said they tried that and didn't get through. I'll check it, but that's the best way, and to follow what I'm doing at Organic Cowboy on Twitter, at Organic Cowboy 2Cs, all one word.
All right. Well, Doug, thanks for calling in with us today, and we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks. And before we let you go, give my best to the goats, and any goat updates for us?
Only that they're about to be fed American-grown hemp protein cake. And for the rest of their lives, my rest of my family's budget from hemp is going from thousands of dollars to zero. Mm. And I'm pretty psyched about that.
That's fantastic news. Well, Doug, thanks for calling in again. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. And good luck on the harvest season.
Thank you, Russ. You're the best at what you do. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, man. Well, folks, that's all the time we got for our first hour. But stay tuned. Hour two is coming up next. Toker Talk Radio. Live phone lines are open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 534-2565. 650-LEGAL-MJ. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ, live from Potland, Oregon. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.